The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
I returned home Friday night from a pilgrimage to Santiago Atitlan, Guatemala, marking the 30th anniversary of the death of the servant of God, Father Stanley Francis Rother, a priest from Oklahoma, who sacrificed his life for the people, for the flock entrusted to his care. I was the episcopal delegate for his cause of canonization, which is now before the Congregation for the Causes of Saints in Rome. Last year, some of you complained that my homily was too short. But it would take me at least a couple of hours to do justice to the story of Father Rother, which would probably do in even the biggest lovers of long homilies among us. So instead, I have brought some copies of The Shepherd Cannot Run, which is a collection of Father Rother's letters written during the year prior to his death. And they are available after Mass out on this table out there in a box for $12 each if you want one. I only brought 19 copies. So if we run out, you can just send me an email message and I'll get it to you. I've got a real easy email address to remember. Think of me before I was a bishop. It's Father Taylor, all written out, no spaces, at yahoo.com. Okay? Pretty easy to remember. Okay? And also out there, and this is available also in Spanish, if anybody wants that, $12 each. And I think we can be on the honor system around here, so just put the $12 in that box. There are also a whole bunch of Father Rother prayer cards, and they're right there on that same table. They're for free. So take them, as many as you want, give them to your family and friends. Today, instead of speaking directly about Father Rother, I'd like to talk a little bit about our journey to Guatemala last week. The Lord used the adversities we encountered on this pilgrimage to teach us that He's the one in control. Amen. And that in this life, our journey with the Lord, if embraced with openness and trust, will lead to a far deeper, far more fulfilling, and far more inspiring and joyful experience of the Lord's presence than any other itinerary you or I would be able to come up with on our own. Pilgrims are not tourists, and a pilgrimage is not merely a trip. It's a journey with the Lord. What follows, I'm going to share with you, is not a tale of woe. It's a tale of wow. A week ago yesterday, nine of us went to the airport at 4, we left for the airport at 4:30 a.m. to catch a 6:35 a.m. flight to Houston, where we were supposed to join 29 Oklahoma pilgrims for the Houston to Guatemala leg of our journey. Unfortunately, the cabin air pressure system failed, and we had to return to Little Rock. They didn't have enough gas to go all the way to Houston at the lower altitude that they would have had to go at. Now, we were given the impression that the problem would soon be fixed. So we waited patiently as three other full flights to Houston took off, all the while thinking that our plane was being worked on. Our laughter began when we were told that the mechanic who we thought had been working on our plane for the last 7 hours would be arriving from Houston at 2 o'clock. We were told it would be probably a quick fix, and so we imagined that we would be in the air by around 3, with plenty of time to catch the last flight from Houston to Guatemala City at 7 p.m. Meanwhile, we laughed some more as another full flight took off for Houston. Finally, we boarded our plane and took off about 5 o'clock. You can imagine our relief after having spent already more than 12 hours trying to get out of Little Rock. So all we could do was laugh some more when the plane made another U-turn. ...30 minutes into the flight. The pilot said that something had come loose. And so we would need to return to Little Rock. I think the plan was to have someone sort of kick it back into place. And then we'd be on our way again. So you can imagine our surprise when we saw the fire engines waiting for us. They were there on the runway as a welcoming committee. And indeed, immediately upon landing, a firefighter dressed in silver-colored protective gear came on board. As it turns out, our emergency landing made CNN and the local news channels last Saturday night. There was a malfunction of the nose gear, and upon landing, the pilot had no steering capability. So our plane had to be towed to the gate. At first, they wouldn't let us get off the plane. After all, the mechanic was right there, flying back to Houston with us. Now, you know there's a problem when the pilot doesn't want to fly. And so he declared that he had timed out. So we got off the plane, only to discover that the baggage handlers had already gone home. So we spent the next 2 hours waiting in line to get our luggage and to get scheduled for the 6:35 in the morning flight the next morning. It was 10 o'clock p.m. by the time I got home. That kind of set the tone for the whole pilgrimage. The Lord was clearly in control, not us. Indeed, since we were pilgrims, not tourists, it didn't matter. The journey was what it was all about. not any particular human timetable or earthly destination. And there were wonderful adversities every day. The next morning, my ride to the airport overslept. There were ticketing problems at the airport, and so we ended up on a later flight. One pilgrim's luggage went out on the earlier flight and had to be retrieved at an office on the fourth floor of the Guatemala City airport. And then on Tuesday, our road was blocked by a landslide. So we took two vans to that spot, skirted the obstacle by walking across a long, rickety, swaying footbridge that would only support five people at a time. Over a deep gorge. Luckily, the bridge was there from a previous landslide. Then more than 30 of us, many of whom in their 70s, rode the rest of the way on the other side of the landslide to the convent we were visiting, crowded up and standing in the back of one of three pickups. One of which ran out of gas. Then after returning, standing again in the back of those same three pickups and recrossing the same rickety footbridge, we got caught in a torrential downpour while waiting for those two vans to take us back to town. They were 45 minutes late. And the Lord was at our side, laughing with us the whole time. And the saga just continued. Our wake-up call for our return trip was 2:30 in the morning because we had to leave the hotel at 3:30, 4 hours earlier than planned, because due to the landslide, there was only one remaining road out of town, Panajachel, and it was going to be blockaded that day at 6 a.m., by a political demonstration. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Dawn hit South Texas, delaying our flight home from Guatemala. Then, after retrieving and rechecking our baggage, which had come to the wrong carousel in the customs area of the Houston airport, we raced to our gate in the exact opposite end of the airport, arriving 5 minutes before our scheduled departure, and were told that the door to the plane had already been locked. Meaning the half-empty last flight of the day to Little Rock was going to take off without us and several others. After some focused and unambiguous discussion, initiated by a traveler who was not of our group, they reopened the door and we took off. At which point, there was a loud vibration on my side of the plane, which was intermittent at first, then continuous, and then stopped after about 30 minutes. And then, of course, when we got to Little Rock, there was no luggage, which was when we discovered that the gate agent back in Houston had kept the portion of our tickets to which the baggage claim stickers were attached. And then after another hour describing our luggage to the agent at the ticket counter here in Little Rock, our wonderful pilgrimage came to an end. Wonderful, because absolutely no one got upset. We laughed when we could, which was often, and otherwise just took everything in stride, confident that all of this was, one way or another, God's gift to us. Wonderful, because we could really feel Jesus' presence tangibly every step of the way. He certainly was present powerfully in the deeply moving and unforgettable celebrations in Santiago Atitlan, which is another long topic for another day. But to me, he seemed even more present in all the twists and turns of the journey itself, which is my, and I think the Lord's, message for you today. A journey full of joy amid adversity that reminded us that this is how Jesus wants us to live our lives every single day.
Amen.
With Jesus at our side as our companion and friend, life can be, and for the Christian, should be, a pilgrimage. The manner in which we journey through life is far more important than achieving any of the earthly goals that any of us could ever come up with. And that was true for Father Rother, and it's true for us as well. St. Paul describes this assurance in our second reading today, which is taken from Romans chapter 8. His words in this particular passage speak to me so powerfully that I use them as a scripture quote on my ordination card 31 years ago Tuesday. And it goes as follows. I am thoroughly convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger from heaven nor ruler of the earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither the highest of walls nor the deepest of chasms nor anything else in God's whole creation has any power to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.